Tonight I'd like to share some thoughts with you that have been on my mind lately, more than usual. I'll be sharing quite a few verses of Scripture with you that we won't have time to look up, so I hope that maybe sometime during the week when you have a chance that you might be able to look up some of those and meditate on them some. But tonight I'd like to speak to you some about the thoughts about our purpose of being here and what we as Christians ought to be doing. What's our main purpose? I know that our main purpose here is to give praise and honor and glory to God, and we meet here three times a week to do that. But what about each of us as individuals? We're here for 4 or 5 hours or so each week, and that's good. You know, we're told in Hebrews 10:25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So that's a good thing that we're here. But what about all those other hours when we're at home or we're at work or we're just conducting the business of our daily lives? What should we be doing then? Well, I believe there are some things that we can do that will help to keep our church strong so that we can continue to get out the gospel of Christ. So in these next few minutes, I'd like to share 4 things with you that I believe will help us to accomplish that. So let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll get right into it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in these next few minutes that you will give us wisdom as we look into your word. I pray, dear Lord, that you would point out some ways that we can reach others for you in these next few minutes. Please help us to know what we should do and to be faithful in doing it. We pray in Jesus' name. The first thing that I believe that we can do is to encourage each other. I can't tell you how many times I've been encouraged by people in this church as well as other Christians that I've known through the years. I had a really good friend over in Pensacola that I used to go fishing with a lot when I lived over there. And he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he was the kind of a guy that was always upbeat. He was never down. He always had a good attitude, even during some sad and very trying times in his life. It was obvious that he had hope, and that his hope was in the Lord. And through his boldness and his good testimony and his witness unto others, I was encouraged to get out the gospel as well. Many times during the course of a conversation with another Christian, they said something to me that just blessed my heart without even knowing that I had a need. In John chapter 16, after Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be leaving them, he encouraged them with these words. In verse 33 of chapter 16, Jesus said to them, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him. And in verse 7 he says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Folks, we need to encourage each other. just like Paul encouraged Timothy. Everybody needs encouragement from time to time. And as Hebrews 10:25 says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We may have some rough times coming up, and we may all need encouragement just to get through some of those. So we need to encourage each other. The next thing that I'd like to mention tonight is edification. Now, what is edification? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I took my Webster's College Dictionary and I looked it up, and here's what I found. It says, to edify means to instruct in such a way as to improve, enlighten, or uplift morally, spiritually, or intellectually, or to build up or establish. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I need a lot of instruction in a lot of different areas. And I don't mind telling you that I get a lot of that here from the sermons and the Sunday school lessons that I hear on a regular basis. But keep in mind, it don't matter how much knowledge you have. It don't matter how much that you've packed in that brain. It's only of value to you if it's used. I think Pastor Watt mentioned that a couple of weeks ago in one of his sermons. But it don't matter how much you know. If you've got all this knowledge sitting up here in your head and it sits up there for the rest of your life, it's never going to do anybody any good. So we need to take all those things that we've learned and that we know to be true based on the only standard of truth we have, which is the Word of God. We need to take those things and we need to use them to instruct and to uplift other believers and to build up the church. Saul of Tarsus spent a lot of time in Jerusalem persecuting the saints there. He witnessed the stoning of Stephen, and he even held the coats of those that threw the stones. And he was on his way to Damascus with letters giving him the authority to do the same thing there when he encountered Christ. And during this encounter with Jesus Christ, he was struck blind and he was converted to Christianity himself. And Acts 9:20 tells us that as soon as his sight was restored and he had regained his strength, that he preached daily in the synagogues that Christ is the Son of God. And he continued to preach there until the Jews decided that they'd heard all of Saul's preaching that they wanted to hear. And so they devised a plan to kill him. But Saul was able to escape from Damascus, and he went back to Jerusalem then, to where he had persecuted these saints and treated them so badly. And those saints at Jerusalem hadn't forgotten that. They still remembered the things that Saul of Tarsus had done when he was in Jerusalem. And they were afraid of him. But Barnabas took Saul and he brought him to the apostles. And he told the apostles how that he had preached boldly in the name of Christ at Damascus. Now, Barnabas was serious about preaching the gospel of Christ. He was serious about it, and he wasn't going to let the fact that Saul of Tarsus had done a lot of wicked things before he was saved keep him from preaching the gospel now. And folks, we still need to follow that line of thinking today. You know, I'm not saying that we should condone sin in a person's life just in order to get along with them. What I'm saying is that beating someone over the head over a sin that has been confessed and forgiven is wrong, and we should always try to build each other up rather than tear each other down. In the first two verses of Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said this: "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification," or to his building up. Now, I've given you just a couple of scripture references here, but Paul talks about edification in several other places as well. He mentions it in Romans chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 11, Paul said, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do." So we need to encourage. We need to edify. And the third thing that I believe we can do is educate. We need to educate unsaved people about who Christ is and what he's done for us. In John chapter 1 and verse 41, we're told that when Andrew found out who Jesus really was, the first thing that he did was to go and find his brother Simon and tell him about the Savior. And the next day, Jesus found Philip. And what did Philip do? Straight away, he went and told Nathanael about the Savior. And Nathanael had some doubts at first, but when he met Jesus, he was convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. So we need to educate unbelievers about who Christ is. We also need to educate new believers. Satan is a deceiver, and he likes to muddy up the water of the minds of new believers so that they can't get a clear picture of who Christ is and what he's done for us. And one man in particular that I've spoken to on more than one occasion, he tells me that he's saved, that he's a born-again believer in Christ, and that he's depending on Christ and Christ alone to get him to heaven. But then he goes on the internet and he dabbles in all this Eastern mysticism and all kinds of other garbage that he finds on there. And he fills his head so full of that stuff that he winds up talking about it more than he speaks about Christ. So we need to educate new believers about Christ. We also need to educate the younger Christians in our church about the things of God. Now, some of you might have heard me say, jokingly, of course, that I might have been a teacher, except for the fact that I couldn't find anybody that knew less than me. But friends, you don't need a college degree to teach a young child a Bible verse. It don't take a rocket scientist to teach these young men the duties of an usher or a sound technician or countless other jobs around the church that need to be done in order to have a church service done decently and in order. So we need to educate our young people in the church about the things of God. And I'm happy to say that I see that being done here on a regular basis. We need to educate them. If we don't, somebody else is going to. And if we allow somebody else to educate them, then that may not turn out too well for them in the long run. So we need to encourage, we need to edify, we need to educate, And finally, we need to evangelize. We need to look no further than the Great Commission to see that we as believers in Christ have a responsibility to get the gospel of Christ out to the whole world. Jesus himself said in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. This commission is not only recorded here in Matthew 28, but it's also mentioned in the last chapter of Mark. It's mentioned in the last chapter of Luke. And again in John chapter 20 and verse 21. When Jesus had met with his disciples after his resurrection, and he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, he said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." It's mentioned again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I got to tell you, friends, I step all over my own toes every time that I read these verses, and I see what a terrible price that these disciples, as well as other martyrs, all down through the history of the church, have paid to get out the gospel of Christ. I see that, and then I compare that with this measly little stuff that I do for him, and it makes me ashamed. So we need to encourage, we need to edify, we need to educate, and we need to evangelize. Do you remember that picture of the man that Pastor Brainerd showed us on a slide a while back? He's rolling this great big boulder up a steep hill. You remember what the caption was on that slide? Anybody remember what that said? It said, "You can do more than you think you can." And folks, I know that's true in my life, and maybe it is with some of y'all too. With God's help, I'm going to be working on that. I'm going to try to do what I should be doing in the future. And I pray that you all will as well.